Good morning. Well, I have a very familiar text this morning out of Luke chapter 2. We're going to talk about the birth of the Lord, fitting for the Sunday before Christmas. Our text will be out of Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14. It says, in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." We thank you, Lord, for your word. I know that it's truth. We thank you, Lord, for the great gift that you gave for our salvation. I pray as we read this text, as we discuss it, Lord, that you will burn this into our hearts and help us to know and to realize the great gift that you gave for us, that we might be reconciled to you. I thank you, Lord, that there's no sin too big that you cannot forgive. No lifestyle so demanding, Lord, that you can't break the chains. And I just ask that you bless the teaching of your word and bless those who are here and those who couldn't be here. In Jesus' name, amen. So the shepherds spent about 5 to 6 months out of the year in the fields. I was reading Dr. Clark said it was generally from April to September. And many of you know that people argue that Christ's birth couldn't have been in December. And that's correct. But Dr. Clark made a point I liked. He said the Holy Spirit chose not to reveal that to us. So why should we sit around and worry about what day he was born on? Just the fact that he was born. Getting back to the shepherds, though, on the social ladder, in that culture, they were on the bottom rung. Shepherds were a necessity. They raised the sheep. They took care of the sheep. These shepherds in particular were probably watching the flocks, raising flocks for Passover and for lambs that would be offered for sacrifice. And they spent 5 to 6 months out of the year living outdoors. So they didn't get invited to a lot of parties or social functions because they smelled like sheep. They didn't have a lot of interaction with people. They kept to themselves in the sheep. That was part of their job. And it's amazing when you think about it, God announced the birth of the Messiah. He didn't go to the high priest house. He didn't go to the Pharisees. He didn't have an angel appear in the temple in Jerusalem. He appeared to this group of shepherds, the lowly. I hear a lot of hype today. People talking about prosperity, you know, following Jesus and being prosper. But the Apostle Paul said God has chosen the poor in this world to be rich in faith. I don't know about you, but I'd rather be rich in faith than have all the goods that the world have to offer. And in this scene here, we see an angel of the Lord suddenly appears to these men in the fields as they're watching the sheep. And understandably, it says they were terrified. They were afraid. It could be that they thought this angel was bringing divine judgment. Sometimes God would send angels to talk to people and to warn them. And nothing had been going on for 400 years in Jerusalem with the Jews. God told them through the prophet, there's going to come a famine. And he said, it won't be for bread and water, it'll be for the word of the Lord. So there was 400 years they call the silent years. God quit talking to his people. He'd had it. They weren't listening to his prophets. They weren't turning back to him. And he said, I'm just going to quit talking. But boy, he showed up in a big way here. Imagine these people hadn't had any new revelation, any revelations from God. And these men are out in the field at night, and all of a sudden an angel of the Lord appears, and it says the glory of God shone around them. Understandably, they were afraid. They may have started thinking back and thinking, oh boy, this is because of this that I did or that that I did, or God's getting ready to pronounce a judgment against us. But what did the angel say? He said, don't be afraid. I hear people talking about, you know, when I get to heaven, I'm going to do this or that. I don't know what I'm going to do. I think that if I come into the presence of God Almighty, I'm going to hit my face. I'm going to the ground. Everything I've read in Scripture, people that come into the presence of God, they go down because he's holy. And these men were terrified of this holy angel, but he said, I brought you good news. He said, unto you is born in the city of David a Savior. As I said, he didn't go to the high priest. He didn't go to Herod's palace. He didn't go to the temple. He picks these lowly men, and he says, to you, a Savior's been born. And he said, this good news will be for all people. God was getting ready to make all things new. Before this, you had to be Jewish. You had to be circumcised. You had to be under the covenant of the law in order to worship God. But God was about to change all that. And the angel told these shepherds, this good news isn't just for you, it's for all people. Now, this isn't universalism. I've heard people speculate, well, since Jesus came for all men, then all men will go to heaven. No. The angel said to the shepherds, this is your good news. Jesus Christ came to save the sinners. That's the very next thing he said about the Lord. A Savior. A Savior is one who delivers from danger. The judges were called Saviors in the Old Testament. Many of them were called Saviors. God would raise them up when Israel was under oppression by their enemies because they'd sinned. They'd forsaken the covenant, and God would turn them over to the enemies. Then he would send a judge. He would raise up a man to be a judge over them. And they were referred to as saviors, but this is a different Savior. He said, a Savior has been sent to you, one who rescues from danger. Well, what danger were they in? I'm sure they may have thought, we're not really in any danger. What do we need a Savior for? What do we need to be rescued from? Sin. The Bible says no flesh will be justified in God's sight by obeying the law. And that's all they had was the law. Paul said the law was given so that the world might become guilty before God. If you remember when God gave Moses the law and gave it to the people of Israel, he said, don't say who'll go to heaven and get God's will, or who'll go across the sea and get it. He said, it's right here. And Paul said the whole world became guilty before God. No longer could mankind say, well, who knows what God wants, or who knows what God thinks, or who knows what God's against or what God is for. God said, now I've given you my law, and you know where I stand. But Paul said none of us could be justified by that. You know, I've met Christians throughout the years and churches. They want to add to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm not talking about good moral conduct. God's people are to be righteous. We are to be holy. The Bible says without holiness, we won't see the Lord. But I'm talking about churches that add rules and regulations. You know, if you want to be a Christian, you got to look like this. And if you don't look like this, you're just not saved. Well, wait a minute. I haven't read that in the Scriptures. These were God's covenant people. When you think about this, they were his covenant people. And he sent Jesus to them first. And he picks the least reputable people in that culture to reveal this to. He said, to you there's a Savior born. We need a Savior. You need a Savior. I need a Savior. And he said, this is great news. And it's not just for you. It's for all nations. I'm glad that God in his mercy open the door to salvation to all of us, those who would receive it. Now, to some people, this wasn't good news. They could care less. Some of the sharpest rebukes that I ever read in the scriptures that God has were for the religious people. They're the ones that had a problem with him. Leave us alone. We think we're doing fine. You remember what happened when John the Baptist came baptizing? Many of the Israelites came to him. What did the religious leaders do? They thumbed their nose at him and God. We don't need that. We're righteous and we're holy. So this message isn't for every man, woman, and child on the earth, because some people won't receive it. This joy that we talk about this time of year, this peace and goodwill to men, this isn't for everybody on the earth, because not everyone will receive it. Now, you talk about God showing his goodwill to mankind. He brought his son into the world. Number one, the angel said he's a savior. He has come to rescue you. You can't be saved till you see your need to be saved. If I walked up to you right now and said, don't worry, I'll save you, you'd say, well, that guy's an idiot. I'm not in any danger in here. But yet, when Jesus Christ came to save us, you have to realize you need a savior. No one's above that. I don't care if your greatest sin's kicking the cat, you need a savior. And the angel said to these men, there's a savior been born. And this is good news for you. And then he goes on to say, this savior is Christ. Now, Dr. Clark, in his commentary on the Greek, said what he actually said, Christ means to be anointed. And what he said, what the angel actually said, was emphatic, and he said he is the anointed. They anointed three different types of offices in this culture. The king, the priest, and the prophet were anointed with oil to enter into that office. And that anointing with oil showed and signified that the Spirit of God was on you, and therefore God could communicate to you and you could communicate to the people. And they were called Mashiach, anointed. But Dr. Clark said in this announcement that the language the angel uses is he is the anointed. There was an emphasis put upon it. Prophets, priests, and kings were anointed by men. This one is anointed by God himself. Remember when Jesus preached in Nazareth and he quoted Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. That offended them. He has anointed me. That's what the angel's saying to these shepherds. He's the anointed one. He is the Christ, the anointed. And he also called him the Lord. That's the same word that's used when they speak of the Lord God in the Greek text. An angel of the Lord appeared to them. We would understand, okay, that was one of God's angels, the Lord's angels. Here, the angel says, he is the anointed, he is the Lord. Same word. I just have a hard time wrapping my mind around the fact that God would become a human being in order to save human beings. Now that's how much he loves us. That's his compassion. That is his desire to pull us back into that fellowship with him. He didn't come to establish a bunch of rules or churches with different names. He came to establish a relationship with us. He came to pull us back into that fellowship that Adam and Eve had with him. In fact, theologians call it being restored to original righteousness. On this dark night, an angel appears from God and tells these lowly men, I got real good news for you. The Savior's here. The Anointed One is here. And he told them where they would find him. What did the shepherds do? After the angel left, they said, let's go see. You know, they were the first evangelists, when you think about it. I didn't read the rest of the text, but it said they went and they saw where the baby lay, and then they went all around Judea telling everybody what they heard and seen. Don't you know that got some buzz going? Some of them probably said they'd just been in the field too long. Poor guys. to have these shepherds come out there and say, guess what? An angel of the Lord appeared to us. And he said, the Messiah's here. That's who they've been waiting for. That's who they've been praying for. They still are to this day. Many of the Jews are still praying, God send the Messiah. And it's sad because they don't realize he's already been here. Now he's seated at the right hand of God in glory. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Yeah. I can't imagine how they were received. But I can tell you this, I don't think any of those men's lives were ever the same after that. I really don't. I believe every time our Lord preached, he'd look up. I believe there were shepherds in the crowd. Because I think the shepherds had told one another, this is the guy. That angel told us, this is the guy. This is the Messiah. Now, as I said, this news doesn't mean much to some people. We've pretty well made Christmas something it's not. And it's a shame. That doesn't matter to me if we celebrate it in June or July or December. We're here to celebrate the arrival of the Lord's Christ, the one he sent to save us, the one he sent to reconcile us unto him. I said before, I'm not against gift giving and giving gifts and receiving gifts, but we need to keep our focus on the real reason to celebrate Christmas. God sent his son to save us. And you can talk to some people today and it doesn't mean a thing to them. But it's the ones that it does mean something to, the ones who repent and turn to God, that Savior's for you. You can take this message just as personally as the shepherds did. For you, there's been a Savior born. For me, there's been a Savior born. I don't know about you, but I needed one. A lot of y'all know my background. I was lost in sin. I was separated from God. But he had mercy on me. And one day I received that same message, not from an angel, from the Spirit of God himself. There's a Savior for you, Rick. There's somebody came and bore your sin. You don't have to live this way. Praise God. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. So that message today is as pertinent as it was 2,000 years ago. You don't need an angel whispering in your ear to appear to you in glory, but the message is the same. For you, there's been a Savior born. What have you done with that? Well, I'm thinking about it. That's dangerous. Don't put it off. Understand something. God loves you enough that he sent his son to take your sins in his body on that tree. That's why this baby came. We all love babies, right? Most of us. You know, babies are cute and cuddly and they make funny noises and most of the time they smell pretty good. Sometimes they don't. But, you know, we all love babies. But we can get our focus on this little baby and forget what his mission was. He came here to take our sins. He came here to give us a new life and a new way. That's the Christmas story. You remember back in Eden when Adam and Eve sinned, God told them and the devil, there's a man going to come from the woman. He's going to bruise your head. He told Abram, there's a man coming out of your bloodline. All the nations will be blessed through him. He told the prophet Isaiah, he's going to be a king. He's not only going to be a king, he's going to be a wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. How can anyone read that and say, well, Jesus isn't God? I don't know. You must be a little thick between the ears. I'm sorry, but that's just the way I feel. But how can you read that and say, well, Jesus isn't God? The Bible doesn't say Jesus is God. I just told you what the angel said. He's the anointed, the Lord. He didn't say a Lord, one of many Lords. He said he is the Lord. What great mercy God has shown to his people. And this is open to anyone who will come to him. You don't know what I've done. I don't care what you've done. I don't need to know what you've done. I had a guy one time told me, he wanted to tell me some stuff about himself, and he said, hang on, man. I said, nothing bothers me. And when he got done talking to me, I'm like, ew. Man, I thought I was a bad dude. You know, until I heard that. But you know what? Jesus Christ saved him. He's not that guy anymore. That's the beautiful news. They needed a Savior. And the angel showed up and said, I've got great news for you. And I'm paraphrasing. Great news, guys. Your wait's over. The Holy One's here. The Anointed. The Christ. The Lord. The Lord God. He has come here to save us from our sins. That's the great news. That's the news we in the church ought to be putting out in the community. You know. But in order to do that, we're going to have to get out and rub elbows with these folks. And I know that goes against a lot of people's grain. You know, what if somebody in the church sees me hanging around this person? Who cares? They're the ones that need Jesus, aren't they? Yeah. I got a message called Fishing in the Washtub that applies to this church. I'm not trying to be mean. We want to fish in the clean places. Jesus said, go. He didn't say, sit and hope they'll come to you. Try to come up with new ideas, new programs, new music, new carpeting, new whatever. You know, hope they'll come to you. He said, you go. If I ask for a show of hands right now, how many of you Christians have non-Christian friends? I doubt there'd be very few hands go up. Well, no, I just don't hang around Christians. Understandable. How are we going to share the gospel? This is good news that's still for today. When's the last time you told somebody there's been a Savior born for you? Somebody's come to deliver you out of this life, if that's what you want. Somebody that loves you and laid their life down for you. Praise God, he took it back up again. I said there were three types of offices or people that were anointed. Prophets, priests, and kings. Jesus filled every office. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's the prophet that Moses said was coming. That God said, I will put my words in his mouth and he'll only speak what I tell him to say. And he's also the high priest in the order of Melchizedek. The one who intercedes, who prays on our behalf and intercedes for us in our sins. And God anointed him to do that. No man anointed him. Merry Christmas, church. Yeah. Would you stand with me this morning? When you're opening your gifts the next day or two, just pause and give thanks to God for the great gift that he's given to us. For this Savior that came to save us and deliver us from this evil world.